Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, continuing a very rousing discussion of how a beneficiary benefits from a trust as opposed to a will. We've had a couple of shows already in this series. People can find that at legacyandfaith.com.
Yeah.
And you want to also get into some new changes to Washington state tax law that affects this.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when this show rolls out for the first time, it's going to be right at the time when this new law takes over. And one of the benefits of utilizing a trust instead of a will is that a trust can do tax planning and a will cannot. Now, as I've mentioned multiple times, there are some practitioners that use a will-based system and then they try to stuff a trust inside of it for tax purposes. That's called a testamentary trust, where the will, the testamentary object, holds the trust, hence testamentary trust. Versus in my world, for Paul Grant's law firm, we either use a will or we use a revocable living trust. Now, that revocable living trust is a current trust that we set up during your lifetime, hence the revocable nature and the living of it. So revocable means you have full, absolute, complete power and control. You can change terms, conditions, beneficiaries. As the attorney, I can watch over that. We can change law. We can change tax issues. So in other words, it's a flexible, ongoing document during your lifetime. The living part, revocable living, is that you utilize it when you're alive, and it's supposed to give instructions on how to caretake for you personally. And we've had many shows about that I believe a trust is far more beneficial for the creators. In other words, during your lifetime, it will do a better job of protecting you as an individual, and then the benefits when you pass away to your family. And so we're going to look at the benefit of a revocable living trust in the world of taxes today because, well, that's why you tuned in probably, was hoping to hear about taxes. Who doesn't want a whole show about
that? Yeah, death and taxes. We can't get away from that saying.
Yeah. So we might as well talk about it, right?
Okay.
So yes, there is going to be July 1st, a new rendition of the Washington state estate tax law. And some of it is good, actually, and some of it cuts. So what else do you expect with a new law? It can't benefit everybody.
So we've been able to avoid the income tax, though, the state income tax.
Well, I would disagree.
Really?
The tax that was upheld by our Supreme Court, in my opinion, is a income tax, because that's the only way that you get it is through income. So therefore, I believe that they offended our Constitution because our Washington Constitution doesn't allow for an income tax. That's a whole nother different story. But estate tax we have had. As a matter of fact, we are the only community property state that has an estate tax. There's 9 community property states. We are one of them. And like I said, the only one with an estate tax. So let's talk about the premise of an estate tax.
Okay.
An estate tax then is a tax that is determined by the amount of wealth that someone has at the time that they die. So there's a federal estate tax, and we also have a Washington state estate tax. Now, we've had an estate tax here since 2005. So we've had it for quite some time. And it started off at $2 million, and there was an escalation clause in it for the rate of inflation. Well, they changed some of the wording in one of the laws, and so then it got stuck. And it has been stuck at $2,193,000 for the past, I think, 7 years or almost 8 years now. Well, this is what the new July 1st estate tax rendition is trying to now fix. Mm. So one of the benefits of this new tax is that you can have up to $3 million. So there was about an $800,000 increase of what you can own at your death. So again, let's kind of pull that apart. Let me go back to basics about how an estate tax works. So an estate tax looks at how much do you own on the date of your passing. We actually have to look at absolutely everything: your bank accounts, your investment accounts, your IRAs, your house, your vehicles, your personal property, life insurance. So believe it or not, most life insurance is included in your estate tax. Hmm. Now, the life insurance industry has done a fantastic job at saying that life insurance is tax-free. Most people have heard that. It is true for income. It is false for estate taxes. So the IRS says that if I control something, then it is to be included in my estate. Well, if I control a life insurance policy, in other words, I'm the owner, I control the beneficiary, then I own it, according to the IRS. It's called an incident of ownership. So because I own the life insurance policy, that value, that death value, is actually added to my estate value. So if I have $2 million of house, bank accounts, IRAs, all the stuff that we think we should add in, but then I have $1 million life insurance policy sitting onto the side and I own it and I control the beneficiary, and that's $1 million. Well, the $2 million I have plus the $1 million of life insurance policy, because I controlled it, that's added to the estate tax. Hmm. All right. So misnomer, that life insurance is tax-free. It is only income tax-free. Now, there's ways to get it out of your estate so that it can operate both income and estate tax-free. It's actually one of the more fundamental things that we do with life insurance, and it should be highly considered for anyone who does have a reasonably sized life insurance policy. That's a different show. So estate tax. We add everything up, and then we actually do take your net, and so we look at any debts you have. So if you have a mortgage, you have $1 million home, you owe $200,000 on it, then we actually say that the amount that that's added to your estate tax value is $800,000. So we do get to a net value on most items when we are looking at an estate tax. Now, there are different filing thresholds versus tax thresholds, but that gets rather complicated. I won't go there. So again, an estate tax, then we add everything up, we look at your value, and we say, do you have more than the exemption amount? So the exemption amount is going to be on July 1st in Washington, $3 million straight up. So that means if you have less than that number, everything is exempt. So you get $3 million exempt from the tax. So that's a good place to start. That actually helped a lot more people. I wish I had some statistics. I couldn't find it quickly enough. Usually when they change a law, there will be some discussion of how statistically who they think is going to be influenced by this law. I just couldn't find it. And so I wish I had that of how many individuals kind of got taken out of the estate tax because of that $800,000 raise. So in other words, we got an $800,000 increase in our exemption. That actually helps a lot of people. That's a really good thing. And so that's fantastic. Now, on the federal level, just FYI, that's $14 million, just a tick under that. So you have to have $14 million before an estate tax starts. Okay, so we've got our two exemption amounts, $3 million in Washington beginning July 1, and federal government, $14 million. The other thing about this new law in Washington is that it is going to now increase by the rate of inflation, and it's only going to be governed by Seattle. And so therefore, whatever the inflation rate of Seattle, then that is going to be added to this number, and it is going to therefore continue to move forward. That number is going to continually increase over time. Mm. So again, I think that both of those aspects of this new estate tax law in Washington are positives. Yeah. That those are good things.
And that's per individual.
That is per individual.
$3 million per individual.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about that for a second, because really we're talking about benefits of a trust. And this just so happens to fit right into the discussion, new law, and as well as taxes. Now, if you are married, then, and Mark, you just mentioned per person. So that means our brain goes, great, we got $6 million. Wrong. You do not get $6 million exemption. You only get a $6 million exemption if you plan properly.
Mm.
And so you must be proactive. You must do proper planning in order to utilize both exemptions. So I am married, and let's say, for example, my wife and I had $4 million. Yeehaw. So now I've got $4 million. We're feeling good about life. We just heard some guy on the radio say we get $3 million each of exemption. We are set. I die because the man has to die in all my stories first. So therefore, I die. Now, if I have done kind of traditional planning, my wife and I would own our bank accounts together, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Jointly.
Yes.
Yeah. And if I had an IRA, then I would naturally leave my IRA to who? To my spouse, because I love her. And I would be in a lot of trouble if on the day that she gets to the pearly gates and she would say, why didn't you leave all your IRA to me? So I have to leave it all to her. So all my IRA goes to her, right?
Mm.
Okay, good. And our house we own together clearly. So both of our names are on title and we live in a community property state. So just in case there was any doubt, if I had accidentally missed anything, let's say I bought the house before we were married and I never put my wife on title. Now, 30 plus years of marriage, something happens to me, I die. But the house was only in my name. It's okay. Community property comes in, saves the day. We didn't have any prenuptial agreements or anything else. So therefore, she's going to be able to claim the house even if her name wasn't on title. So all of this is good and easy, correct?
Mm.
Wrong. Because how much is my wife now worth? So remember, in the story, we were worth $4 million together. So I had bank account. They were joint. The house is joint. I left her as the beneficiary and everything. And what I just did is I just gave her everything. And I did minimal to no planning. Maybe I even had a will in the background. And even if that will had tax language in it, if I own everything jointly, if I leave her as the beneficiary, what goes to my will? What actually hits it? The answer is nothing. So how do I ever get property to a will if she's my joint owner and by law, she automatically takes ownership the day that I die? And by contract with somebody else, she takes the IRA. Oh, by the way, my kids are the contingent beneficiaries. Hmm. So if she disclaims that, the money's going to my kids. Not the intent. So actually, that trust that was stuck in the middle of my will became useless because there's no way to get property there.
Mm.
Therefore, the tax language can't be used. Therefore, my wife is worth $4 million. Hence, when she dies, we have an estate tax problem. So poor planning, inconsistent planning, or actually no planning at all means that I just exposed my family to an unnecessary tax. Estate planning is resolving estate tax issues to make sure that you don't pay an unnecessary tax. That's why we got to talk. That's why we do this program, because there are solutions to protect what you have earned and make sure it gets to the people that you love.
Planning with Purpose is the name of Paul's company. You can see why he believes so much in planning, and he believes in using trusts as opposed to a will, particularly for estate tax issues and getting into tax questions on this week's show. The benefits of a trust. You like his way of thinking. You want to find out about his services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And very practical discussion this week, how to avoid taxes using proper planning with your trust and some changes in Washington state tax law that are coming into effect. And Paul is getting us ready for those changes. So many ways to really help your beneficiaries benefit from a trust.
Yeah, and really what it is you have to take the first step, which is we have to be prepared and we have to plan.
Mm-hmm.
So sitting back on an old plan, by the way, not a good idea. It's not going to have current tax language in it. It's not going to have all the different options included in what we do now compared to what used to happen 10, 15, and 20 years ago. So it's just as important to do the planning as it is to do the updating. Most people do not walk into a law office for over 10 years if they use a revocable living trust. They don't walk back to a law office for over 20 years statistically if they use a will. And
how often does tax law change?
Well, I don't know. It seems to be all the time,
it? Yeah, almost every couple of years there's major changes.
It is. Now, Washington was kind of on hold for quite a long time and stuck in this place, like I said, that with wrong language in the law, so they finally corrected it. But the federal government, boy, that's really party heavy. Each party has a different philosophy on their views of estate taxing. And so right now, with a Republican majority, well, the estate taxes will remain high. But that doesn't mean that a Democratic majority would not kind of pull that the rug out from under our feet for estate tax purposes, that is. Mm-hmm. So when's the next law? I don't know. And that's why we need good updating, because stuff does always change. And, you know, not only that, but our industry is becoming more innovative, and we think through different topics. So the trust that I created 10 years ago is nothing like the one that I create today. And put aside the issue of the law changing, it's just simply I belong to a really good national group, and we're a think tank. And the work that we've done to help create a more flexible trust for tax purposes, it's quite astounding. Mm. So it's not just law. It's the innovation. I would hope and think that people would want me to get better and better at my job every year. So if that is true, if you don't stay in a relationship with your attorney, how do you get the benefit of their ongoing information, education, and their innovation? And the answer is you don't, unless they have a good program. Mm. So find an estate planning attorney that has a solid annual program to make sure that everything that your trust needs to be for your family's purposes is actually going to be there. So it's not just about updating taxes. It's about the innovation that we see in estate planning that has continued to move forward as well. Hmm. So with this new July 1st law on estate tax, we talked about some of the benefits. Higher exemption rate, good. So if someone has done good planning, that means a married couple can protect up to $6 million and pass it to their family. If you are single and you have more than that, there are other things that we can do to protect your family from estate taxes. But we just got to start with the foundation planning first. So it always starts with foundational planning. And then if there's still a tax concern, so someone has more than $3 million as a single individual, they have more than $6 million as a married couple, after the foundational planning, there's other things we can do to help mitigate that tax. So, and why would we want to then mitigate the tax? Well, number one, most people actually really don't like paying taxes to the government. So laws are really good until they touch you. So people really support taxes or an estate tax in Washington state unless they're the ones being touched. Mm. Then it's not good. So with the new law, not only did they raise the exemption amount, but they raised the percentage amount that a taxable estate is going to be exposed to. So I don't think I said that very well. So let me take a different shot. Let me come around this hill from a different angle.
Okay.
So the estate tax currently under the old law starts at 15%. And it graduates up to 21%. So if you had $8 million as a single individual, you could expect everything from $8 million and over to be taxed at 21%. That was the old law. Okay, so 15% up to 21% was the old taxing system. The new taxing system is that it starts at 17% if you are exposed to it, and it graduates up to 35%.
Mm.
So now, instead of 21, someone may have a 35% exposure to taxes. That's pretty hefty. More than a third of your wealth could be siphoned off and given back to Washington state if we are not going to be doing really good planning. Now, that magic number currently sits at $9 million. So if you have an estate worth $9 million or more, or as a married couple, 12. Why 12? Because the assumption is you have good planning, and the first spouse, when they die, they get to protect $3 million. So you take the 9 plus the 3 for a married couple, that equals 12. So if you are single and you have $9 million or more, or if you are married and you have $12 million or more, those are the magic numbers for you with proper planning. And a 35% tax will then be attributed to everything over those amounts. So if you have a $20 million estate, you're going to lose over $4 million of that $20 million estate. So there's other things that we can do to mitigate and help protect or preserve more of your family's wealth and get it to the people you want. Now, I've talked about different estate tax strategies in other shows, and you can find other podcasts at legacyandfaith.com. But one of the greatest ways to think about a taxable estate is, do you want to be generous in your life? So do you have a passion to give to your church? Do you have a passion to give to missionaries? What other organizations, nonprofit organizations, do you really love? It's very advantageous to be generous in your estate plan for tax purposes. And if you want to protect your family, there are other tools, there are other things that we can do to help mitigate and offset the estate tax. Mm-hmm. But we're back to the very first thing that I've said this whole show, which is you've got to do the planning. And now, specifically, if you have been blessed and you've been given more than the taxable estate is going to allow you to have, we got to do good planning right here and right now.
Do good planning using your trust to avoid taxes as much as possible. Some new taxes on the horizon in Washington State. And you need some help with your estate planning. You want to get in touch with Paul. How do they do that, Paul?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.